It's time to begin our service this evening. If you would turn to hymn number six. Number six. Shall we stand? Would you kneel in prayer with me? Our Father in heaven, as we come before Thee once more this day, we are truly thankful for the time that You've given us to gather together, for this place of safety and this sanctuary that we have to draw ourselves away from the world for a few moments, to draw our thoughts and our desires in onto the purpose of life and the reason that we are here, to worship Thee and to hear Thy word. And Father, as our brother and Thy servant would stand before us this night, we do ask that You pour Your Holy Spirit out upon him, that You give him liberty of thought and expression, and that those words that You would have for us would be bore upon the wings of Thy Spirit into our hearts and our minds, that we could carry them with us, that we could apply them to our lives, Father, and that we could live that more righteous life that You require of us. Forgive us, Father, for the weaknesses that we have, and I would ask, Father, that You would help us to walk on that righteous path that You have set before us, that You would help us to resist the forces and the powers of the adversary, that we'd call upon Thy name to strengthen us, to help us to overcome those things in our lives that would destroy our souls. I ask, Father, for the sick and the afflicted, those that have the needs of life. I pray, Father, for our sister Cindy, that You would continue to bless her in her illness. I ask for each, Father, that have the physical needs of life as well as the spiritual and emotional needs. We do thank Thee for Your watch care, for Your protection, for Your patience with us, for preserving us. We're thankful for Thy Spirit. We're thankful, Father, for the gift of Thy Son and for His sacrifice and for the power of the Spirit that lies upon us. We're thankful for all that You've given to us. So we leave ourselves now into Thy care and in Thy keeping, praying Thy Spirit to attend to our needs, not only during this hour, but during the remainder of this week and the coming weeks. And this I'd ask in the name of Christ. Amen.
Drop your nuts and follow.
Thank you. Well, our speaker this evening needs no introduction, but it gives me pleasure to introduce this evening's speaker, our pastor and our brother, Bob Hedrick.
Appreciate it. I do appreciate your prayers. As always, when we stand up here, we do stand in need of them. I'd like to thank the guys for the song. I have to share with you. I'm going to embarrass Michelle. Michelle approached me last Sunday and says, "Well, do you know what you're preaching about?" I says, "No, not yet." And she says, "Well, the kids are working on this song, and this is the scripture it's based on. You want to try and use it?" Well, I'll think about it and see where it goes from there. And it wasn't, was it half an hour later? Gordon comes up, and his first scripture is that one. It was perfect for this song, you know, about how they were fishers of men and how now in the church, you know, when God directs it, like in Africa and the Philippines, we're almost sinking the boat with the amount of fish and souls we're collecting. But so I'm not going to use it, Michelle. That's the long story to get to where I'm going. But I do have some thoughts. I'm going to do things a little bit. I'd like to have some feedback today. I'm going to ask some questions, and not necessarily rhetorical questions. So I do appreciate a response sometimes. I would like to start. I'm going to start on page 7 in the Book of Mormon. I know in our daily life that and in times past, men have stood behind here and given verses that we thought would make good memory verses. And I know the kids have memory verses through their vacation church school and Bible school and all those kinds of things. And I'd like to present for you tonight a scripture that I think would be a good one for us. So I think they're all important, I guess. But this one had a special meaning to me as I was studying. And this is in the first book of Nephi, first chapter, and the 65th verse. And it says, "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father," well, you don't have to memorize that part, "I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded. For I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them that they may accomplish the thing that he commandeth them." I'd like to, for us You know, if you don't get anything out of this sermon tonight, just remember that theme, because that's what I want to keep going back to, is that whatever the Lord asks to do, He'll give us the ability to do it. Sometimes it goes beyond our comfort zone, but He gives us the ability to do it. It's like, I like to liken it to a, you know, the scriptures liken the word to a seed and how you plant the seed. And God gives everything. When you look at a tree, God has provided everything for that tree. That seed drops in the ground. What does that tree need? That was one of those things that wasn't a rhetorical question. What does that tree need? Water. Okay. Who gives it the water? God does. Well, it sometimes comes out of the hose around Phoenix, but technically, God gave them the water for us to give it to them. What else does that tree need? Fertilizer. Food. Nourishment. Where does it get it? Where did it get the soil? Where did it get the earth? Who created it? I'm getting there, John. I'm going to keep going. From God, right? God provided everything that tree needs. And one more thing He needs. Sunshine. There it is. And who gave Him the sunshine? God. Okay. So picture that in your mind. This tree didn't do anything of its own that the Lord didn't provide for it. The Lord provided all the nutrients, that provided the soil, provided the water, the sunshine, everything it needed to grow. You with me? So it's kind of like us. If we look at this 65th verse, it says the Lord isn't going to ask us to do anything that He's not going to prepare the way for us to do it. But He's not going to give us the ability to do it. He's not going to tell that tree, I want you to grow to be 100 feet tall, this mighty oak. Of course, I'm not going to give you any water or sunshine or anything. It's up to you to do it. And we know that's not the case. His creation and the way He did things, he got this little nut. Now that little nut, this mighty tree grows. I'm not liking it to you guys. Kind of like animals. You know, you look at any species of animals, the Lord has provided everything for the success of that animal. Food, water, shelter. The animal has to work for it. You may have to dig a hole for shelter or whatever, but the Lord provides a place to dig. So, having said that, in our life, we got this thing that the Lord's going to provide everything we need. That concept I want to get through. So, that begs the question. You know, I always, okay, whenever I go somewhere, it always spawns more questions in my mind. The Lord's given us everything that we need. You with me? Okay. What did He tell us to do? Grow up, yeah. What's His commandments? I mean, I can sit up here, and I thought about that today. I can sit up here and I can open 1,000 scriptures and all the commandments of God. And these are things we want to do, but I honestly think you know it. I think maybe you've heard it a few times, and at least the big ones. So what are they? Love God with all your might, mind, and strength, maybe? Well, that's what I'm saying. Keep them commandments. What are the commandments? Yeah? Would it be fair to say to have charity? Okay, what else? I got a list here. You bet. Okay, preach the gospel, I heard. What else? I heard somebody said to have faith. Hope and faith, you bet, and charity. And what else? Some specifics. Humble ourselves. I heard something else over here. What? You bet. There's a few thou shalts and a few thou shalt nots that are pretty clear. There's not a whole lot of gray area. We're supposed to be a good example. Would you buy that? A light on a hill, the salt of the earth, all those things. And how about share with those that are less fortunate? Those are all things. Mourn with those that mourn. Comfort those who stand in need of comfort. Remember all that whole list of things. Stand as a witness. Those are all things that He's commanded us to do. Did He command us to meet together? Yeah. Oft. You bet He did. You know, it's like with the scripture about this song, you know. He commanded them to follow me. Those are all things that He commands us to do. Now, what was that memory verse again? Could somebody refresh my memory? Boy, that didn't last. He's not going to ask us to do anything that He doesn't prepare a way to accomplish it. In so many words. I'll buy that. I want the concept. So, we got this whole long list of God's commandments. But think about it. He's given us the means to do them. These are not commandments that are way up here that we never attain. These are commandments that He says, go and do. Right? So, do we? I have to admit, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I fail. Sometimes I sin, and I don't want to make light that. But we have the ability. I want to go back to our tree that was once a nut. This mighty oak tree, 100 feet tall, 500 years old. It's as big around as this. And Ken, I told you since you went down there and not up here, I was going to bug you. I want you to go chop that tree down with your bare hands. How about it?
Take a while.
Can you do it?
Nope.
Why not? That's interesting. Okay. I'll make it easy for you. I want you to chop down this mighty oak tree that's this big around, 500 years old, and I want you to chop it down with a herring. No, not a herring. I'll give you a tool. A plastic spoon. Have at it.
It never works. Not the right tool.
What? It's not the right tool. Interesting. You cannot cut down a tree with a plastic spoon. I should have got a plastic knife. This is a digging instrument. Andy, you build hospitals. I'd like you to dig the foundation with this spoon. It's going to be kind of hard. You know, sometimes we do this spiritually. Has God commanded us to cut down a tree? No. But you guys just gave me a whole list of His commandments that He told us to do, right? What's God given us to do it? Remember the memory verse? He said, I won't make you do anything, basically. There's no commandment that I'm going to give you that I'm not going to prepare a way for you to do it. So what's he giving us? Good looks? What? Okay, this isn't one of those rhetorical questions. This is one of those real ones. What's he giving us to do this whole long list of commandments you guys had? Scriptures, very good.
Spirit?
What else? Sure, discernment, wisdom. Anybody else?
Talents.
Mm-hmm. What does that memory verse say? Everything, well, in so many words, everything we need. We don't need any more. We have sufficient. Otherwise, he wouldn't tell us to do it if we didn't have sufficient. And that's the idea I want to get across is he gave us these scriptures, this rod of iron. He gave us a brain, the ability to reason, to think. Cogito ergo sum, you know, that I think, therefore I am. That he's given us wealth. By a lot of the world standards, you bet he has. You know, some of these commandments are to meet together oft. He's given us the ability to drive here. He's given us the ability to have a place to worship. He's given us the ability to do things. How many of those commandments are to do things? He's given us the ability to speak. And he tells us what to speak. Speak the truth in love. He's given us everything necessary. He's given us ministry. You think about that? That the purpose of the ministry are for you. We serve you. If any of you have any questions, all you got to do is call Ken. 569-2249. Speed dial. But it's like back into this parable world of this mighty oak tree and trying to cut it down with a plastic spoon. It doesn't take very long to figure out, I got the wrong tool. But sometimes instead of going back to the right to find the right tool, we just sit there and dig at it. We get frustrated because this sin in my life, I can't overcome it. Yes, you can. Because God told you to, and he's not going to let you make you do anything that he doesn't give the ability to do. Remember that scripture verse. He won't ask us to do anything that he doesn't give us the ability to do. We are very blessed. When we don't do what we're supposed to do, when we sin, it's not because we don't have the ability. We have the tools, we just often don't use them. It's like, picture a mechanic with Joe on his shirt and greasy hands, and he has every Snap-on tool in the catalog. Two of them. Got his own truck. But when he goes to fix a car, he tries to use his own hands. Well, I don't want to get those dirty. Is he going to have success? Isaac, is he going to have success fixing the car? No. It's like the chef who has every pot and pan and knife, fork and spoon, plastic spoon available. And then goes and gets a Big Mac. Not using the tools that God's given us. What was the scripture verse again? What was the memory verse? That wasn't one of those rhetorical questions, okay? Okay, good. It's not going to ask us to do anything that doesn't provide the way. And I'm not saying, you know what? This, in 1 Nephi, you know, it's pretty specific that Nephi had to go back and get the records. but it's a truth about everything in life. I'm not sure if any of us have God has commanded us to go kill a man for the records. Okay. But he does, we do have that whole list of things he did command us to do about how we're supposed to live our life, to be baptized, to be a good example, to do the right thing. I want to change gears here for a second. I want you to turn over in 3 Nephi. No. Yeah, 3 Nephi in the 8th chapter. I don't have a whole lot of scriptures here to go over, so it may not take very long, but I want to, if I just get that idea across. This is on page 651 at the bottom of the page in my Book of Mormon. I'm going to start with verse 50. It says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Wherefore, you must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you." Do you believe that? Do you? Good. Scripture, I hope you do. I believe it. That when we approach our Heavenly Father and say, "Lord, this is my need." And He looks at it and He says, "That is a right need." That we have a reasonable hope to attain it. That He will bless us with it. Okay? Follow me here. Now, turn over onto page 768, the seventh book of Moroni. How about the seventh chapter of Moroni? I don't think Moroni wrote that many books. The seventh chapter of Moroni, and this is what Ken read this morning about charity. Fifty-first verse. "And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing. For charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. And it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may hope, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen." Has anybody prayed for charity? Some of you have. Some of you recognize that it says right here to pray for it. Okay. Now follow me down this logic. What was the verse we just read before that? That when you ask the Father in his Son's name, in Jesus Christ's name, if it's right, the Lord will give it to you. Now, is charity right, do you think? Yeah, I think so. So if we ask for it, and God promises that if it's the right thing, that He'll give it to us, does that mean that I already have charity? I think it does. Because that's what the Scripture says. But it's like having that mechanic with every tool in the wagon. If I don't use it, it's worthless. And I want to speak towards sin. That, you know, I of myself, I can't cut down that tree. with my bare hands. I cannot overcome this problem. But the Lord said He would help me. That He's, you know, He commanded me to overcome this sin in my life. And what was that memory verse again? Okay, good. He's not going to ask us to do anything that He's not going to prepare the way to do it. So the way is already prepared. We already have the tool. We just ain't using it. We're back to using our plastic spoon. And getting frustrated sometimes. We pray for charity. And I used to think, you know, charity is this all-encompassing thing. When I have charity, you know, it's going to be peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the park every day, and because I'm going to have it figured out. But I'd like to read this a little bit different. Not the same words, but with a different emphasis. Go back to the 51st verse of Moroni there, and let's read this. If you have charity, and charity suffereth long, what does that tell you right there? You're going to suffer. So guess what? If you're suffering, maybe you have charity. How you respond to that suffering will determine whether you're using your charity or not. We pray for charity, and God gives us a trial. He's saying, I gave you the charity. And to show that He already gave it to us, He gives us a trial just to illustrate it. And those trials are not always pleasant, are they? Okay? So we're praying for charity. We're kind of praying for a trial, aren't we? Because it suffereth long. What else? And charity suffereth long and is kind. What does that tell you? It tells me that there's going to be an opportunity for you to be unkind. That when you're faced with this situation right here, there's going to be a temptation, there's going to be opportunity to be unkind. But we're commanded to be kind. Boy, you know what? If I just had charity, you have it. You just don't use it. And the only way you know how to fix the car is to get the tools out and use them repeatedly. And envieth not. What does that tell you? It tells me that somebody else is going to be doing better than you. Somebody else is going to be better spiritually. It's going to be more wealthy. There's going to be a temptation to envy somebody. That you're going to be placed in a situation where it can be tempting. A trial. To illustrate that charity. Is not puffed up. What does that tell you? Yeah. You're going to have the opportunity to be proud. Because you may be able to do something better than somebody else. Fact of the matter. Do we have different levels of skill? You betcha. And can some people do better things better? You bet. But you still don't have to be proud about it. Puffed up. Seeketh not her own. That tells me that you're going to have the opportunity to be selfish. Is not easily provoked. That tells me somebody's going to come along and punch you in the nose. Or something similar to that. Verbally, maybe. Thinketh no evil. That means that Satan's going to throw evil thoughts into you. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. That means you're going to be exposed to it. But rejoiceth in the truth, and beareth all things. That means you're going to be carrying something. Lots of things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. It means there are going to be times when your faith may be shaken. Endureth all things. It means you're going to have trials again. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if you have not charity, you are nothing. For charity never faileth. You know, it's like praying for patience. My kids have a weight problem. They cannot wait. And the Lord's saying, and if you pray for patience, Lord, give me patience. Well, patience is a thing that would be right. We have a reasonable expectation to have it. So I think we have it. We just don't use it. So instead of blessing you with boom, all of a sudden we change the way we're thinking. All of a sudden, hey, I have patience now. I can wait forever. No. He's going to give us one trial after another until we develop it. He's given it to us. Now we have to use it to a point where we know how to use it very well. We're the fastest at getting that patience out of the toolbox as anybody. We can do all kinds of things. You know, my kids say they're bored. I'm not sure if when you had kids, were they bored? I keep telling my kids that, you know what? Good. You need to learn how to be bored. There are many times in your life you are going to be bored and you need to know how to do it well. And that's the same thing as teaching patience. And it's not with a magical change in our mind that we have patience. It's not a magical change in our mind that we have charity. It's when we get the tools out and actually do it. You know, we're back to that oak tree and that problem in our life, that sin in our life that we can't overcome because we keep using this plastic spoon and we get frustrated because I try and I try and I try and I fail and I fail and I fail. Because we're not using the right tool. Because we're not recognizing that this tree, this obstacle, this trial, this sin in my life is an opportunity for God. You know what? He's given us the promise. All we have to do is grasp onto that and believe it. Because why? Memory verse. Because He's given us everything we need. It's just like that tree that grew out of that nut. He's given us everything we need. And if we truly believe it, then we would be able to overcome. Yeah, but I don't know how to use those tools. Well, that's Ken's job, like I said. That's when you have to come ask questions. That's when you go, you know what, I got a problem in my life. And that's what, you know, the purpose of the ministry is to perfect you. Perfect me. That's why I go talk to ministry. That's why they have to come talk to me. It's for my benefit. That's what we're here for. You know, the Lord provides everything we need to overcome and to deal with whatever comes in our life. But you know what? If I had $100 million, I could do all kinds of things for the church. I could buy them a plane. We could broadcast on TV. And I could have Brian go in there 3, 4, 5 times to Africa. And what was the memory verse again? The Lord will provide everything necessary, right? Well, if He didn't provide me with $100 million, what does that tell me? It ain't necessary. Take comfort in that. That we often say, well, you know what? If I just had a better job, if I just had the ability, you know, lived in a nicer place, if I just had. And He says, you know, I'm giving you everything you need. to be successful in life. Just got to use them. I'm going to read real quick, and this is the scripture that goes right along with it that you probably already have memorized. I just wanted to give you a different one. Philippians, the 4th chapter, 13th verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Once again, there is nothing that we cannot do when the Lord has given us everything we need. He's given us the ability and He's given us the tools. We just need to learn how to use them. And I thank you for your time.
Sick and afflicted in our midst. We continue to pray, Father, that you would protect us from the adversary, that you would give us the tools that we need, that you give us the strength of heart and mind to overcome the temptations that surround us. As we now go our separate ways, I pray that you would help us to be free of temptation, that you would protect us, that you would hedge us about. I pray, Father, that as we resist the adversary, that he would flee from us and find no place within our hearts and our minds. So keep us safe in thy peace and in thy comfort until we come together again. And I ask in the name of Christ. Amen.